Hey everybody, it's Shifton Steer, and everybody's here in the studio today. It's exciting because I want to just say one thing. It's really important. Do you know what that is? Welcome to the party.
Welcome to the party, pal.
That's right. Aaron was on it. I don't know how he knew, but hey, this is episode 435, and I hope that everyone is enjoying the show and our new changes that we've made. We need you to keep supporting us. Tell your friends, because we're with a new network and that helps us out tremendously. We do have that mid-show mention, but you know what? That's what keeps us on the air. And you know, we have got to pay for things like Aaron's rider, because every show Aaron must have fresh bagels. He has to have what is the other stuff that you have to have? What is it?
That beer doesn't die itself.
Water?
I don't know.
Yeah, my rider you wouldn't believe. It's ridiculous. Oh, new pair. He read about the comedians, and now we have to every episode have a brand new pair of Air Jordans in the box delivered, because he will not go on the air unless they are crisp, fresh, and new.
Well, because they hurt my gout, man.
I was going to say, I don't even think you wear shoes while we're doing these podcasts. So
he doesn't even wear pants. What do you mean?
I tell you what, speaking of ads, let's welcome our newest advertiser, Bet Online.
Let's do that.
Bet Online, they're your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. You get all the latest stats, news, and scores. They're available to follow on all of your favorite teams. You can get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. So head to the website or use your mobile device to get in on the action. It's Bet Online, where the game starts.
All right, Bet Online. Sounds good. You know what? There were some good odds yesterday in Hollywood, and the odds were that somebody was getting a star. And so, Aaron, we saw you were there with your whole family. And we did see that my co-host on Man Seeks Adventure did a guest appearance. He just popped in at the curbside.
Yeah.
So, hey, tell us all about it, man. Your dad, Sammy Hagar, got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah, it's a pretty incredible ordeal. And I forget all the statistics, but if you think about it, I think they've been doing the stars since, what, the 30s or 40s? And, like, only 2,400 stars have been given away or something. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty incredible history with very low numbers. And Dad got one. It submitted – I don't – the Dad didn't submit it. I think his publicist does or something. But he gets submitted to the council, and they make the call, and man, they were like, yeah, let's do this. And he got his star. It was incredible. John Mayer spoke, Guy Fieri hosted and spoke, and Dad's manager, Tom Consolo. And yeah, you know, you get a lot of names and things shouted from the sidelines, and a couple of voices I recognized. And one of them was Dave Merrick. It was good to see old Dave. He's like, yeah, my girlfriend's right up the street. And I'm looking down the street going, what's all that commotion? I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Aaron's dad. So yeah, it was good to see him and a lot of familiar faces. We had a ton of redheads out there, which was just awesome. Love to the redheads, huge. Chad Smith was there. Mike and Sue Anthony were there. All of the family was there. My kids showed up, and yeah, it was really, really cool. It was a nice event. It's nice to see Dad get something like that, which seems obscure. Like, why would you get a Hollywood star? You're not an actor, but it's entertainment, and music is part of that profile. And
yeah, they have a category.
Yeah, exactly. And to have Dad get that was pretty cool. And Chad Smith from Red Hot Chili Peppers, his was actually about 10 or 15 feet away, and all the chairs that everybody sat on, like the main guy there and Guy and a few others were sitting there. We're sitting on Chad.
Where was it on Hollywood?
It's out front of that record store. I apologize to the record store. I forget the name of it. They were given some thanks while we were there, but it's right out front of this really famous, been there for a long time, record store, which is really cool. right on Hollywood Boulevard. So it's in a good spot. It's in prime. Yeah. It's along with some real classic, like really like, wow, that's so-and-so, you know, it's, there's some really neat stars around him. Some real classic old school, like some of the OGs, you know, very, very cool.
You know, one of the things that I read this years ago, but when you talk about entertainment and music and things like that, back, I think it was like the 40s where they had, you know, the singing cowboys, you know, remember?
Right, right.
Yeah. Daughtry and some of those guys have stars that are for film and for the music they recorded. So they've got like double ones because they were singing stars, you know, they were, and, you know, it's interesting. It really is an interesting part of the Hollywood culture because it's, you see people when you've been there. I mean, all of us kind of, I think, don't you guys agree? We kind of take it for granted because it's there. We've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you see people when you go up there for an event or something and there's all these tourists and they're sitting on the ground by their favorite celebrity, taking a photo with the star. And I'm sure Sammy's will get a lot of action that way. So it's
absolutely. It's
cool. Now, so, Aaron, so Matt and I were there front row electronically.
So I looked it up really quick. I can't find when it started, but there's 2,777, maybe 78 stars on along 15 blocks. So that's one of each side, I assume. Directors, actors, producers, musicians, theatrical, musical groups, fictional characters, and others. But where I'm surprised it didn't say.
They have a couple different categories. You know, they have, like you said, film and TV and music and radio and radio broadcasting as well. It's great. I was going to ask, does Van Halen have a star of their own?
Yes. So they do have a star, but I remember them doing the concrete, like putting their hands and stuff in it.
That was Grauman's. They did one at Grauman's.
Oh, at Grauman's. Okay.
Yeah.
They also have a star, I believe. Yeah.
That's probably, and I see, it looks like it was in the 50s it was started. I see 55.
March 28th, 1960 was the first permanent star laid on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Correct. I see a 56. A prototype was unveiled. I just didn't read far enough. Yes, yeah, correct.
Stanley Kramer.
So since the 60s. A little later than I thought. I thought it was earlier than that. But yeah, there you go. So pretty cool, man.
It was nice to see everyone there. I saw, you know, like you said, your kids showed up, but your brothers and sisters and everybody was.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, in the hubbub, my wife didn't get on the stand with us and get a photo taken, which was a real bummer because it was a family affair and you know, 20 years ago she became family. So unfortunately she didn't get on there, and I know it's going to be a sore spot because it's it was a pretty special event. So we're really bummed about that. But it was we got pretty much everybody else.
Bad Photoshop skills.
We got everybody else up there, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Now there's some good stuff. You know, dad was a little nervous. And he did really good. You know, he had all of his little tricks and all of his, you know.
I can tell that he did look a little uncanny nervous. He did.
Well, because he didn't want to write a speech and read it and be so formal. He likes to do everything off the cuff. And he had some concepts. And from what we had talked about, he got all of them out. A lot of the stuff we discussed, he made in it. He worked it into the speech. But, yeah, you know, he wanted it to be about giving thanks and about the history. He told a great little story about how his mom was obsessed with Hollywood and the stars, and that was their escape. You know, they were homeless for a long time and definitely struggled growing up, and so Hollywood was the big fantasy. And every time they would go, she would drag them all to the strip, and she would read the stars and see all of her favorite actors at the time. And you know, she's long past now, which is really a shame, because I think seeing dad, her son with a Hollywood star would have probably been the peak of her life. is to see that. And Dad said something very interesting. He said, there's the dreams that you dream of. I'm going to paraphrase, but the dreams that you dream of, you know, that you can achieve, but there's the dreams that you haven't dreamt. And he said, this star was a dream that I never dreamt of having. Like I never went that far, like a Hollywood star. Well, that doesn't make any sense. So yeah. I thought that was really, really cool. It's like, he's achieved something that wasn't even on his list of, you know, I want one of those, which is pretty, pretty special in life. Right.
Yeah, it is. All right, guys, we'll make a goal right now of being the first podcasters to have a star on the Hollywood Walk. couple issues in front of us.
One is,
you know, notoriety. Two is talent. And also
you have to pay for that star, and it's really expensive.
We
can't afford that either.
So that'll be a GoFundMe starting next week.
Huh? Yeah. But I wonder if you can go to Bet Online and bet whether or not we'll get one.
There's going to be a podcaster that's going to get one. Who's it going to be?
Yeah.
And then will there be an influencer category? And then will there be?
It's going to be Joe Rogan or Adam Carolla.
Yeah.
Those are the two names come to my mind too, right?
Yeah. Can't think of anybody else.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to Sammy. Yeah. You know, Sam deserved it. It was cool. It was, I was busting your balls before the show saying John Mayer did a horrible job. No, he did a rocking good job.
John was great, man. Yeah. Guy did a great, like I said, everybody did a great job. And there's so many people to thank, but yeah, John, I don't know if everybody knows how brilliant he is, but man, that guy's mind is just so good. His points of reference and how he organizes his thoughts on paper or in song, as you know, are really incredible. I can't say I'm not a fan of his music. I have listened to his music and it's excellent. But you know, I'm not like a fan. But I gotta say, I respect him so much because his songwriting is so good. He's such a great guitar player and singer and producer and just everything. But yeah, just to hear him talk about, you know, your father on the podium was pretty awesome because every word that came out of his mouth was like spot on.
John Mayer, I think, is doing like a bunch of shows at the Sphere in Vegas. I wouldn't say like a residency, but he's like this month or something, he's doing a bunch of shows. But I had just read recently, I just saw a headline about, you know, an article going, you know, two of the greatest like blues guitarists out there, John Mayer and Kenny Wayne Shepherd. And Kenny Wayne, of course, he's so fantastic, and he's such a car guy. And he's a big Mopar guy, and if you follow him online, you'll see he's like, I'm in a concert here, and what a great show. And then he's like, and I just ordered my Hellcat Red Eye jailbreak, and get my 170 delivered. I filmed with him at his house a couple of years back when I was doing the show for GQ, and he's got his house, and then sort of separate is like a little structure for a few garages, and he's got kind of a little lounge in there and some guitars set up so he can be sort of separate from the house, because the house is full of kids and the kids probably don't always want to hear dad playing the guitar.
sure.
You know, so he goes in the garage and gets a little me time, I guess, with his cars and his guitars. He's a good dude.
I think I can officially say that John Mayer is probably not a car guy. He brought up the story where how Dad was very generous, and he said, I came to visit Sammy, and he goes, he gave me his car to drive, and it was a Lotus Esprit.
Yeah.
And I was like, and to myself, I'm going, Elise, Lotus Elise. It wasn't an Esprit. It was an Elise.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
My first thought was,
you should have just shouted it out, man. You should have corrected him.
Should have threw a tomato at him.
Yeah, no, he's a shy speaker, and you could hear that when he first approached the mic. He was a very shy speaker, and as he built his confidence, he got closer to the mic and more involved, and then he got funny, and everybody laughed, and then he was on. But I think if I would have done that, I might have set him back. So I was...
Yeah, he was...
Wrong car, dumbass!
Instead of cars, he was busy, dating... Everyone. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
He was busy
Aniston,
dating
Taylor Swift. He was
taking a photo on the hood of a car.
Yeah.
Yes. So, all right, back to real life. All right, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Celebrity spirit.
Back to bills and yeah. and sore feet in real life.
So you both remember in the 80s when the California Highway Patrol had some of the coolest patrol cars around. They not only had some Camaro Z28s, which I remember reading all kinds of articles about how they had to get special approval to take an inch off the barrel of every shotgun because the roofline was so low that their shotguns would not fit. And so I didn't realize that even the Highway Patrol has to go to the, you know, get federal approval to cut the barrel off a little bit. And it was a big deal.
They couldn't just put a dent in the floor.
Exactly. Yeah. Or just, you know, one discharge and through the roof.
Yeah, but now, shoot it once.
And I remember seeing those when I was a kid driving across the desert, and you'd see one go by, and it, oh, look at that, a Highway Patrol in a Z28. Then they took another step. And Matt, what did they get that you would like?
Oh, they got Ford Mustangs.
Fox body Mustangs.
Yeah, they did.
Fox
but they were 5-liter GT Mustangs.
And they were SVO motors in those, right?
No,
they were 5 liters. Yeah. The SVO was the 4-cylinder.
Yeah.
But they were
they're called a Maverick or something.
They were kind of stripped down notchback, stripped down coupes.
Yeah, they're lightweight cars, right?
And now they're super desirable. They're collectible. People have been restoring them, and the ones with history behind them. Maybe it was driven by a certain police officer for years and years, and they're popping up at shows and being restored and stuff. So yeah, they're kind of cool, and people doing the lights on them and doing the all kinds of the cool features for the radios and whatnot. But yeah, they were like roll up windows and cloth seats, just like regular like LX seats.
Velour.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah.
Well, if you didn't get one of those, you'll have another crack at getting a 5-liter GT Mustang Highway Patrol car, because North Carolina just bought a fleet of 25 to start, and they're going to have them, roaming the roads of North Carolina. And with them making that first buy, I'm sure there's other states that are going to be having them, because I doubt Ford would prep just, cars for North Carolina. So did you look this over, Matt, and see how they're outfitted?
You know, I don't have the full specs on the car, but I do like that they're bringing them back and they're going to put them in use over there. And who knows, at some point in the future, they'll probably become collectible as well. I don't know if they're calling them SSP cars like the original ones, the special service package Mustangs, but
right.
If Ford was smart, they would do that. They would do a 2024 SSP and sell that to these police departments.
I sure hope the first one I ever get to see is not in my rearview mirror.
Yeah, well, that's about the only place you're going to be able to see them if you're going through North Carolina. I think 400 of the original cars were made back in the 80s.
Yeah,
80s, 90s.
There were a lot. I think that was the number. Now, there's a show on TV right now called On Patrol, where they have 40 different, camera crews with Highway Patrol, with police, and it's live every Friday and Saturday evening. And I noticed that in Arkansas, when I was watching it, that they have a great system for getting their Highway Patrol cars. Whenever they pull over one of these guys that have drugs or are, exceeding triple digits in their Hellcats, they confiscate those cars and make them into their new Highway Patrol cars.
Oh, that's awesome.
Now have four of them. They have Hellcat Chargers and some Challengers.
Interesting, because when I said there was 400 SSP cars, those were just CHP. There was 15,000 total cars made.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But hey, listen, if that's the way to do it, is just start pulling over people with the best cars, the worst people in the best cars.
But they said they said they were getting outrun constantly by these cars. And so they said, well, you know what? We confiscate the cars rather than selling them. Why don't we just, you know, retrofit a few? And they said it's made a huge difference. Now they can get more.
So, wow, that's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Cops are driving a rat rod C10. Exactly. with a big force, with a big one, a 572 in it. NASCAR suspension. Sorry, no back seat, but I'll tie you in the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right? Zip tie you, hog tie you in the back.
That was always the problem with the Mustangs and the Camaros. If they had to transport, they had to wait, you know, they're way out in the middle of the desert somewhere. And we're waiting on transport, yeah. You know, because there's no room to put you in the back seat because there's really no back seat.
Just time to a fence post or a cactus. Yeah. Leave a bottle of water.
It's really the reason they even put those cars into service in the first place was because cars were kind of dogs in that smog era, and they needed something that could drive the people that couldn't drive 55. Really, you know, that's what it was all about.
The North Carolina cars, those state highway patrol. The thing that they did wrong was the paint job. They should have just gone totally retro with it, with the black and the white, and doing the white roof and the white doors.
Yeah, I
just would again. There would have been a way to do it to really make it cool.
But were their cars originally black and white? Like those may not be their colors.
I mean, maybe not.
Like Nevada's blue. Mayberry RFD or something like that. You know, I mean, whatever they were back in the day. But here's the thing: we look at it like that and go, "Oh, that'd be so cool." Some bean counter sitting in the state capitol is going, "No, why would we spend extra to paint them? We just order them black. That's it. We're good. We're done." You know.
Yeah, they ordered them black. They did like a stripe on the side. You know, I'm sure it's a wrap, but you could still wrap it. Just be a little. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they only ordered 25 of them or something, right? So I would have just said, let's just do it the right way.
But they probably also say the black ones just blend in better, you know, because I went to Arizona 2 weeks ago, as you guys know, and driving back, I saw a late model Z28 Camaro. Matt's redoing his hair.
I touched my hair and it just stuck up really high. And I was like, just go.
A Z28 Camaro, and it was charcoal gray, and it said, Arizona Department, what do they call it? It's not Highway Patrol over there. Department of Safety or DPS, yeah. Arizona Department of Safety. But it was tone on tone. It was charcoal on charcoal. So at night, it would reflect that. But during the day, it just looked like a gray Z28 because all the lights are in the windshields and everything. I came up on that guy and I was like, wow, I'm glad I wasn't speeding because I would have never slowed down for that car. I didn't know they had Z28s over there. That's pretty amazing. But, you know, we talk about muscle cars and everything like that. But sometimes there's artists that want to talk about muscle cars. And there's an artist named Jonathan, I hope I'm saying his name right, Shipper. He said he wanted to do an art installation that celebrated the demise of the muscle car. Before we get into this, guys, I want to say that I think he's contributing to the demise of the muscle car because he had...
You just took two more off the road.
Well, no. He had an installation of this exhibit in Chicago and in Belgium. Now he has the one in Brooklyn. And before that, him and the engineer that figured it out, they went... There was photos in one of the articles I read where he had to go through like six or eight cars to figure it out correctly and all and it showed he was using, like one of them was an IROC Camaro. The other one was, some 70s and 80s muscle cars gave their lives for this. Did you guys check out all out? Did you get a chance to look at the YouTube video?
So he does the time-lapse video where it basically pushes the cars nose to nose and crushes them together 1 inch per day.
Yeah, so it's a 6 week exhibit. And they said, when you come in and look at it, you can't see anything with the eye. It's doing it so slow. But if you come back the next day, as you just said, Matt, an inch has gone. And over the 6 weeks, it totally smashes them like a head-on collision.
So the YouTube video is a time lapse. And here's my thought. The whole thing's dumb.
I was just going to say, why, right?
Not a fan. Yeah. Not a fan.
Like, I get it. Whatever. It's art. I've seen some art I like. I've seen some art I don't get. This is stupid.
I don't know. Okay. Is it art or is it just a political statement?
So did you see the article that I sent from the Milwaukee Art Museum? Now, this is an older exhibit. It's not there anymore. I wish it was, because it looks kind of cool. But it's an artist that found cars that were wrapped around poles, and they extracted them, and then he cut a piece of pole, put it back in, and made them art exhibits. That's
art.
Yeah. I mean, it's because it actually happened. He took it and he found a way to make it interesting and people could walk around. And, you know, he didn't just
repurpose,
give up these cars for no reason, you know, just to make an artistic statement.
He repurposed and hopefully made something, you know, of a heightened awareness around safety and physics and all these things that are very complicated around these cars. Yeah, that is quite impressive what these things are doing.
This is horrible, just all far more interesting.
Yeah. It is art. It really is. Yeah,
it's more interesting. Even let's just say that car accidents always draw eyeballs, because aside from the human factor and everything like that, it's interesting to look at the dynamics of. I mean, sometimes you look at them, you go, how did this car bend and shape itself around? There was one just the other day on YouTube that a guy, you know, in Brooklyn, they have that elevated train and, you know, they film lots of movies of chase scenes under there. Well, some guy went to avoid an accident and hit one of those steel girders, but he hit it like just like half the car. And it was the strangest accident. And that's why they were showing it, because it was almost like somebody took a saw blade and cut the car in half. Wow. One half stopped and the other half just kept going about 2/3 of the way. And you could see the seat, and you just go, the dynamics of that are just amazing. You know, I'm sure the guy didn't feel the same way, but.
You know what else is amazing is the gallery that Brad emailed us of the art with the poles in the middle. There's a bunch of naked ladies in the background.
That's why I was checking it out in the first place.
That's how Brad was found this article. It's
the John Mayer Museum in Milwaukee.
What photos are you looking at?
I don't know what photos you're looking at. I didn't.
It's just a car and some mirrors.
you sent the article that has the cars wrapped around the poles.
Yes.
At the end of the article, it says, check out the photo gallery of the 2009 exhibit.
Photos. Oh,
there you go.
I see the photos.
Don't pretend, Brad, this is not how you found it.
Yes, I embedded a link in there for you. It goes to aaronhagar.com.
These aren't Asian.
Don't go to that.
Listen to the last show, you'll know.
Don't go to that website.
These are clearly European.
These are art pieces in the exhibit behind the cars on a different wall. It just so happened to be that's what it was.
It made the cars much more interesting.
These were the women they were looking at when they crashed the car.
Yeah, there you go. Whoa, look at that. But it's crazy because you look at car accidents and you see the cars. I used to go to a lot of salvage yards. Back when there were lots of salvage yards, and you could go in. I mean, remember the good old days, guys, when you could walk in, you would just bring your little tool kit with you and you could take off whatever you wanted. And then you walk up and the guy at the counter goes, at $3 for that.
And $3.
$6 for that. And I mean, that was when there was lots of muscle cars in there. And I mean, I'm talking like in the early 80s, you could still find
Yeah.
A lot of muscle cars, but you would look at them and you'd go, damn, what happened to this one? You know, and you, and the strangest thing about it back then was if you opened the center console or if you opened a glove box, all the possessions were still in there. It was, I always thought that was weird. You'd think when it went to the junkyard, wouldn't they open it up and go, oh, is anything in here? I mean, there was some pretty interesting stuff. And, you know, those days are gone. Those days are gone.
Yes. That stuff's extra.
Yeah, that stuff's extra. Hey, maybe we should take a quick break, have a little message from our sponsor. Damn, I like that sponsor.
Cha-ching.
Matt, what are you driving, man?
I was just going to say, I have been driving the Toyota.
Other than the girl's crazy.
Thank you.
Yes.
Toyota GR Corolla. And it is so much fun. I feel like I'm too old to be driving it. It's kind of small and it's kind of boy racer, but they did a good job because it's like, it's this 1.6 liter turbo, 300 horsepower, manual transmission. It's a lovely manual transmission, by the way. It's raw. It works. Good feedback on the brakes, good feedback on the steering. It's all wheel drive. It's less than 3,300 pounds. And you just want to drive it like a jerk. Like you just want to have so much fun with it. And I kind of just like whipping it around town. Cause I drive a truck and both you guys basically drive trucks, but, here in the city, it's like, Brad, like if we go to like a Whole Foods or something, you're like, oh, we can't park up front. Those are all the compact spots. You got to park out back. Or am I too tall to get into a certain garage? You know, if there's a parking garage and, you know, just like a truck isn't super LA friendly. And then
especially just parking garages, when you hear your antenna,
yeah,
or, you know, like anything. I always think of the luggage rack, you know, the luggage rack on top of my Suburban or my Yukon. Sure.
Yeah.
I think, is that going to scrape? Is that going to scrape? You know?
Yeah. Plus you have the ejectable sunroof, which is weird.
Yes, exactly. That's why right. I the
first time. But this car was fun to just throw around and to be able to just kind of like take it and know like it fits in parking spots and it's small enough to just kind of zip through a parking garage and around town.
But don't you feel like a bug when you're in traffic?
I mean, you kind of do, but yeah. So Tammy and I drove it around town and she was like, this, I want to drive this thing. It's kind of fun. And then we took my truck down to Orange County for the air water event, the Porsche event,
which we didn't even talk about. That's next.
Yeah. But there was something about having like the little car just around town. It was fun. And like, it's short wheelbase. It's got a stiff suspension, but when you get into it, you just kind of feel like your excitement and your aggression driving is kicked up a couple of pegs. So you don't really, it's not like you're on a long drive and someone is in the passenger seat, just texting the whole time going, I can't read my phone. It's so bumpy. It's like, yeah, you don't really care with this car. But it was, it's the same as
the Subaru BRZ, right? It's the same.
No. That's the different one. This, the GR Corolla, look it up real quick. It's the hot hatch.
I just did.
A little vented.
Yeah.
It's, little vented hood, little four door.
It's cool looking. The wide body versions are awesome.
Yeah, and they start at about $35,000, and the one I drove, the Circuit Edition, was about $45,000. I was telling Goldberg on CarCast. I was like, Bill, you live in Texas, and your son, you know, he's 18. He's got the Bronco. I go, but if I was 18, like Gage, and I lived in the city, GR Corolla would be the way I go as far as a car. It's just,
oh, so it's not a GR86.
No.
Oh, my mistake. Everything was coming up a GR86. I was going to say, cause isn't that like a little BRZ?
No, it's like a notchback, you know, more of a notchback instead.
Oh, got it. Oh yeah. Those are cool. Okay. I was looking at the wrong car,
you know, and the competition would be
already a wide body. Yeah.
Like the Honda Civic Type R would be a competitor, although that's front wheel drive. the Toyota Supra, which is rear-wheel drive, but it's also available in the manual transmission now. This one's the all-wheel drive version. Anyway, I just had a lot of fun with it. They sent, if you go to the website, you go to like toyota.com/GR Corolla. The opening video is this bright blue color with the circuit edition. That's basically the one they sent me to drive. So it was that color and it was that much fun. And
it's a good looking car. And it looks like a little rally car. It's wide body. And
yeah, it's cool. Very cool. I mean, it's not the fastest thing in the world, but it runs low 13 second quarter miles, 13 threes or something. It'll break five seconds.
That's what we say is not that fast anymore. Back 20 years ago, that would have been like one of the fastest production cars out there that you could get without.
Oh, yeah. Like it was quicker than a Ferrari.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like nuts. Okay, so we totally blew past. Go ahead, Aaron.
Just real quick, back on the GR. I wonder if we're going to get the GR Yaris, the little two-door.
Yeah, I don't know if we're getting that out here.
Yeah, that's definitely a Mighty Car Mods little nugget. That thing's cool.
That's a cool little car. We got talking about Sammy and everything, and we blew past the Aaron Water Show, which it's not Aaron Water. It's Air and Water, just to clarify. I was going to go and already had tickets and everything, and then I had a customer say that he was going to come by on Saturday, and bondspeedwheels.com, Bondspeed Wheels on Instagram, sorry. They say they're going to come by, write an order, and then I come in, and then I get a call. I can't make it, man. I'm like, and I'm like, damn it. And I told Dave Merrick I wouldn't come down, give my ticket to somebody else, and, so I donated to the cause.
Well, you
but you went, and I have one question before you get into describing it. Why is it not Luftgekult anymore?
It is Luft. So it's an offshoot of Luftgekult. So Patrick Long and the guys that created Luft, they wanted to create another event. Now, Luft is such a curated, like, invitation event for the cars, and where they hold those events. They wanted to be able to do something that was a little bit more all-encompassing, a little bit more inviting. So, yes, it had curated cars. There were some really amazing things there, and they had some cool displays for them. But there was also an open parking lot where people brought, registered a bunch of Porsches and brought the Porsches. Broad Arrow had an auction on site just for Porsches.
In the hangar, right?
Yeah. And I didn't get a chance to peek into there. It was kind of a big footprint. And a little bit more inviting, like with some vendor booths and displays and things like that. So, it's the type of event that they can do probably more times per year, where Luft is so curated and it's so time consuming. But the reality is as a promotions company that they've sort of put together, difficult to be profitable with one event like Luft every year, right? Especially where the venues that they, like when we did Universal Studios and stuff. So this gives them an opportunity to make it certainly more accessible for a lot more people. Whatever it is, $50, you go in, you spend the day there. It was at the OC Fairgrounds, which was a cool like curated event because of the animals and stuff. So you go out onto the lawn, it was like all the white Porsches, and then you go over to another section, and then they had it broken down, 944s, 928s, and the various 911s. And it's cool because you can get the plethora of cars. You can go see, you can walk up on cars like Roof and Singer, which are normally, like a quail event type of car, and you don't get to see them all the time, where this, and you buy a ticket, you get to see those cars, and they're not necessarily up on a podium behind a rope and you can't get up close to peek in and see it and take pictures. You can. It's just,
it was fun because it was like 2 miles from my house and I didn't
yeah, know, and they made it fun. It was a dog friendly event, and we looked it up ahead of time, and on the website they're like, sure, we love dogs, bring the dogs. So we brought
the dogs, piss on their tires. Yeah, go for it.
Well, listen, they go in the parking lot where all the Volkswagens are before you enter the event.
Oh, real nice.
And then they walked around and they had a good time, and it was fun to go down there. Now being in LA in this event in Orange County, when the event closed and we left, and of course on our trip home up the 405, just Porsches everywhere, just going up. It's just a whole another car show happening. But you get to hear them all now, and just the mix of cars. By the way, the cars they had on display there also were very cool. They had an Interscope 935. They had the Brumos Porsche 911 up there, or the 934, I think. They had, and then, like I said, from 944s to 928s and some pretty rare cars, and 918s and the Carrera GTs, and then every imaginable version of the 911. It was cool. Yeah. Something like 1,000 cars, by the way. 1,000
cars. The Orange County Fairgrounds is a really great fairgrounds. It's a good size, as you said. It's got shady areas. It has, and if you want to do other things, it's close. It's good weather usually. So, I hope it comes back. Are they talking about an annual event there, or is it going to move around?
I don't know if it's going to be there normally. That's a good question. We're going to have to ask Patrick Long at some point. He was, if you guys aren't familiar with Patrick, he's the a longtime factory Porsche race car driver. I think he's won Le Mans twice. And he was Patrick Dempsey's racing teammate for a while as well, when Dempsey was racing for Porsche.
That's where I saw his name too, yeah.
Yeah, he's an incredible driver, and he was on CarCast with us a couple of weeks ago. So if you want to jump back over to that podcast, you can listen to his interview. He talks about Porsche racing, and he talks about, the events and how they sort of came to be, and kind of what he's doing now. Now he sits in a warehouse and sells Lufka Cult t-shirts.
Yeah. Well, there's some great
photos. It's a good business model.
And yeah. Howie Idelson, who I might have brought this up before, who he started this with.
Sort of the creative director of the.
Yeah, he used to work for me at Boyd's way back when. I actually hired him once at Vision and then again at Boyd's. And he invited me once. This is clear back in my Vision days. No, it would have been, I don't know. I'm getting old. I don't remember all my days. But he invited me up to Santa Rosa to race shifter carts. And, wow, man, it was so much fun racing those first time and only time I ever did it. And I would love to do it again. It was really cool.
Any of the events that they do, Air, Water, or Lufka Cult, I would recommend going to at least once. It's worth the price of admission, because it's a different type of car show completely.
And they do such a good job with Luft, the way they curate it. And
it's that was beautiful.
It's always at a really cool place.
Warehouse.
One year they did it at a lumber yard, and that sounds like a lumber yard. No, this lumber yard is like,
it was cool. It was the first one I went to,
aesthetically pleasing lumber yards you're ever going to find. And then they use the lumber to display the car. So it's always worth it.
I think that's the one they show the most online too. When you look it up, those shots of the cars, it's just art.
Yeah. It's gorgeous. And Universal Studios one was great.
Universal Studios was awesome.
They did it like on the sets of the streets.
I saw that.
Was the one that we brought the Adams 935 to, the Paul Newman car. And they had it like set up in front of a theater because of the entertainment connection. And then that was such a cool event. That was that one was a little tough to get in and out of. There was a huge line, over an hour of a line trying to get in.
Yeah, we got there really early so that we could come in that back gate there. And I remember saying to Merrick, because he was with me, and it just happened to fall on the weekend that I had the McLaren 720, I think it was. And it was that bright Aztec gold one that I drove. And I said to Merrick, I said, this is the first time and the only time in my life I'll ever be pulling out of the back gates of Universal Studios in an exotic suit. This is what everybody, you dream of being famous or something, or being an actor. It's like, pull it out of the back studio in this supercar. Yeah, but it was it was a cool event. But the one at the lumberyard was really cool as well. And because Matt and I were there on press passes, we had access to the catwalks and like that, which made it even better because we could go up and look down on everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny you said about the dream and fantasy of driving a supercar through the back lots of Universal. I've driven through the back lots quite a few times in a U-Haul truck.
There you go. When you were doing
that was my fantasy. I can't wait someday when I can drive a U-Haul truck full of sets back and forth.
Yeah, to go to work.
With a golf cart.
It would be nice, though, just to have an office on the back lot, you know, where you're that high up on the food chain. You got your little office and you drive right up to that.
It's funny you mentioned that because Adam and I went, we went through the back gate because we had a car on display. And then after the fact, we were walking around probably where we shouldn't be by some of the offices. And they had some of the Fast and Furious cars out there.
Cool.
Oh, wow.
And then afterward, Adam reached out to his, you know, his friend, his neighbor, this guy, Chris Morgan, who's a writer and producer of a bunch of the films. And he's like, that's my office. That's where my Universal office is like, that's where I write a bunch of the movies. And he goes, why don't you tell me we were coming by? I was like, cause it was a Lufka called event. I thought maybe you weren't going to be there or thought you would know. Cause there was a huge Porsche event taking over Universal Studios. But yeah, that's where he was. I don't know if that's where still his office was, but it is at the time.
Yeah.
It was fun to see it.
The
All right.
world of Hollywood. So, well, I guess that wraps up this episode. And we appreciate everybody. Matt, where can they find us online?
You can check us out at shiftandsteer.com and ShiftSteer Media on social media. And too bad you can't see the video because there's a huge pallet of Bravago sitting right behind me.
I see. Look at that. And
you're welcome to buy some on drinkbravago.com. I'll send you some from that pallet right there.
Good.
So, literally. Literally.
Aaron, do you have any place they could possibly locate you?
Napa County Insane Asylum. No.
yeah, right?
Sonoma? Is it Sonoma? Which one is it? Famously. You can find me all over, just Aaron Hagar. I'm about to post a nice little video of the event, so the star event, so maybe check that out shortly.
Cool. And you can find me on Instagram, Bradley_Fanshawe. Go there, check it out, and you can also check out bondspeedwheels.com. So everybody, we'll be back next week, and that's a promise, not a threat. Thanks for listening.